Here we go. Friday on the national edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, which means off the rails with Doug McClain, and we'll bring Doug in just a minute. In the meantime, we're glad everybody's aboard, wherever you're watching and listening, live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, and this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. So tons to get into, including Elias Pettersson, who has just taken over
the news cycle.
The news cycle, I think, throughout the National Hockey League, a top player having a top year who needs a new contract. One of those rarities where it's not a guy going into unrestricted free agency because they have 1 year to control him as an RFA. But we all know that they're negotiating as if he's a UFA. So as Elliot Friedman reported yesterday, as well as Frank Cervelli earlier in the week, the parties are back together. The sense was from Elliot, guys, that there was some talk between Vancouver and Carolina and whether or not it was legit or maybe just a signal to Pettersson and his group that we got to get serious here. It was enough to bring them back to the table. And I can tell you the latest I am hearing on this situation is that I think it did work in terms of the legitimacy in the negotiations and the fact that it does shape up like he's ready to sign a contract.
Really?
But there is some talk now that they're in a situation where they're not sure on the length of the deal. So it's my understanding that the Vancouver Canucks presented him with an 8-year deal in the ballpark of $96 million, which would be a 12 AAV. But now I don't know if it's a fight or a negotiation on the length of the deal. And this is where we'll bring in Doug McClain here as a former NHL president, GM, and head coach. Of course, author of Draft Day. Oh. Vancouver Canuck fans are going, I don't care. Yeah. We don't care about Doug McClain in the draft day. But I will tell you that that's where it seems to stand now, Doug, is that Vancouver would like to sign him to an 8-year deal. I think Pettersson would like to be maybe in the 5 or under length of the deal. But here's the kicker. He still wants the $12 million AAV.
Yeah, exactly. I would love to know what was coming back in the Carolina BS trade.
Oh, BS.
Like, what was coming back? Aho? Who else was coming back? Like, give me a break. But this is intimidating. This is intimidating Pat Brisson and Barry. Are you serious? This is an intimidation factor to coerce him into negotiating? Come on. Are you buying that? Seriously.
Well, listen, I mean, if it got his attention, like, Mac, it's working because they're at the table.
I'm not buying
that. Is there something wrong with going to Carolina? Is that what are we talking Arizona they were going to trade him to, or Columbus, or was it Carolina, who's a Stanley Cup contender? Like, come
I
on.
Also, like, you know, can you imagine doing that to the Vancouver Canucks fan base? You've been a gutter team for a while. All of a sudden you're first in the division. You got cup hopes and you're going to trade Pettersson for what? You know, to Doug's point.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Who was coming back? So anyway, look, Pettersson is a key guy there. What has happened to this team? And I think it's a really important point here. We'll get to Pettersson in a minute, but I think it's a really good point here. Sometimes at the trade deadline, you try to make the perfect team. And we all sat here a few weeks ago and raved about Lindholm. Okay. Mm-hmm. What has happened to the team since Lindholm has come in there? Guys have moved out of position. Guys have had to play with different people. Has that, in fact, affected the team right now? There's some animosity within the group here. We know that. We keep hearing that nonstop. So what is really going on? Tuck is not happy with the way they're playing. So you know, Pettersson has been a part of it, that he hasn't played very well. Now, last night I read he's mad at, you know, at Quinn and Hornick. I mean, eventually something's going to give here. This is a Stanley Cup contending team based on the season. And I mean, I just haven't seen it lately. So we'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
Pettersson, yeah, the term is a big factor. There's no doubt the term can be a factor here. It's a big factor, especially if he wants that kind of money.
Okay,
if he wants the 12.
Let me ask you something. I'm going to put you in Jimmy Rutherford and Patrick Galvin's shoes here, okay? Yeah. You just offered him 12 million times 8, and he says, thank you,
I'll take the
12 at 5, and you tell him what?
Not a chance.
Oh.
Not a chance. Not a chance you're doing it. But if it's getting that close, I agree with you that it's going to get done. I mean, Pat Brisson and they're not going to not get this done when the 12 million has been thrown out there and the 8 years. I don't for a minute believe this will not get done.
Kip, do you think he would prefer shorter?
I think it's the Austin Matthews. How can he become the highest paid guy at 13.25 mm-hmm. next year and only do it on a 4-year extension? Why can't I have that same kind of contract? I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But I mean,
how important is three extra years, Mac, to Vancouver?
It's real important. It's real important. It's not going to affect Jimmy that much. It's going to affect Alvin. Jimmy will be long gone when that deal comes up. But I mean, there's no way around it. They've got to figure this out and get it done and get him back to playing the way he's capable of playing, being a star, a superstar in the league. If they don't get him done and get him playing back to his game, and is that moving him to center and putting JT Miller on the wing? I mean, what's that all about? I mean, they got to figure this out, because if they don't have Pettersson going full force, they're not going to win. They may not even get out of the first round if they don't get this guy's head straightened out.
Do you think that this could have an effect on the team? I don't necessarily, but I talked to a couple of people who are like, yeah, it's becoming a distraction. Like, would it be affecting their play, this whole saga?
I think it's affecting Pettersson's play. I think that's the only guy that's probably really being affected by it. Yeah. I don't think the other guys, I mean, how can it affect you when the guy's being offered 12 million times 8?
He's going to be okay.
He's going to be fine. I mean, I wouldn't really worry about him. But I mean, Brisson and the guys have got to be a little realistic here too. And they will, at the end of the day, get this deal done.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it'll be done, and I think you're right on the money.
Mac, in terms of everything else, can you just kind of chalk it up to 82 games is a long season, and it's okay. They're a good team, and they're just going through a little adversity right now. It's going to help them down the road.
Well, maybe, but they have never been a very good team for a number of years. And all of a sudden, they're in first place in the entire NHL, and now, you know, things are sputtering, and they have been for a few weeks. So, can they get it going again? It'll be interesting. But I'm going to tell you something, boys. The first round is going to be unbelievably challenging. They could win or lose the first round the same as Edmonton, the same as Vegas, the same as any number of teams in the Western Conference. Anybody can lose in the first round. So you've got to get this fixed ASAP and get the ship righted and get people back playing their game.
Do you have anything else on Vancouver?
No, I'm good.
I got a question for Bourne here.
Oh, boy.
I know you're an expert analytics guy.
Called you Bourne. It's serious.
I'm listening, Dad.
You're a serious guy. One of the greatest acquisitions in trade deadline history was a guy you're really familiar with.
Uh-huh. Butch Gordon.
Butch.
Who would that? Okay.
Butch.
The only guy in the history of the NHL to win the Masterton, Lady Byng, and Conn Smythe. 4 Stanley Cups. Why is this guy not in the Hall of Fame? Can you explain that to me? When I see people that are going in Can you please explain that to me? This is what I looked up because you're saying I never have good questions, you know, with your smart-ass comments. So I wanted to come with a good one for you today.
Yeah,
so
and we're stumped. Are we not stumped?
No, 100% stumped. I mean, listen, you got my backing there. I thought I was in real trouble, not support Butch Goring trouble. Hey, I'm on your team, Doug.
Did you and Biz Nasty come up with this together?
Yeah, Biz Nasty. Like, seriously, of all people to go after in the league, Butch Goring, who should be in the Hall of Fame. But anyway, look, so that's interesting. Interesting, the trade deadline, you got to be a little careful. I heard you guys raving about Lubushkin.
Just me. You know, I'm the only one who likes it, Doug.
We only like it if there's two or three more trades.
We got another fourth pair or third pair. It's good. I mean, I think it's good. It's a third pair, and he's a physical guy, and I think I give him credit. For getting him as a depth guy, but let's not get all fired up here. Like, I've listened to you guys, and I love Foxy there, but, like, come on. It's not the second coming of Bobby Orr coming to the Leafs. Lubushkin.
When we talk about two teams in Canada, the Leafs and Edmonton, who could dearly use a top 4D, how big of a miss is that for those two teams on Tanev?
It's a miss. There's no doubt about that. Both of them could have used him. It's funny. I had heard Dallas were going to get him, and he's a great fit for Dallas. He's a great fit for Dallas. There's no denying that. But for both those teams, it's a big miss because of what they're going to face in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, Edmonton and Vegas could meet in the first round of the playoffs. But, you know, and... It's going to be real. It's a really big miss for those teams not to get them. And what was it? They didn't want to give up the first round pick. I guess that's what it must have been.
Yeah, not sure. Not sure exactly what it was. So
you know, with the Leafs not getting Tanev, is there any truth to the fact that the owner would not let them trade him to Toronto? Do you really believe that? That Murray Edwards is standing in the way because Tree Living left. Is that wouldn't happen, would it?
Not with an offer you can't refuse. I agree with that.
What about with a slightly offer? Would you refuse a slightly better offer?
So is it that they valued the Dallas prospect higher than the Leaf first pick? Could that just have been it?
I can't believe that. I mean, I think this guy's going to be a solid defensive defenseman. Is that a third pair guy?
Future Lubushkin?
Yeah, third pair guy. Well, he better be better than Lubushkin. I mean, I know Lubushkin's the greatest guy. By the way, there's just something about in the NHL as a GM. How often do you bring a guy back to a team after he's gone and it works out?
Do you have stats
on
this?
Not very often. Oh. Not very often.
That's okay. A stat.
Not very often.
Not very often.
It's almost an unwritten rule that you don't go there.
Really?
So we'll see.
I've never heard of that.
We'll see.
I can't.
Well, hey, listen, that's why you have me on here to bring it, you know? There's lots of things you haven't heard of that I say, you know?
I can't stop thinking of Will Ferrell doing Harry Carey asking, if the moon was made of spare ribs, would you eat it with these glasses Doug's got right now?
So how about this one? Are we finished with...
But you go anywhere you want.
Whatever you
want
to do.
What about Vegas? Is there any chance they're going to take a major run at Gensel?
Well, listen,
to play with Eichel.
Everybody's
Stone out.
Everybody's saying that Stone's out. It's an easy fit with the contracts.
100%. And all of a sudden, Gensel and Eichel, and Marchessault and Carlson. And Stone coming back. You've got a pretty good looking top six there. So that's going to be a fun one to watch.
Pretty good top six with the best decor in the league, I would say. It's a nice combo, Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem they've got, I don't know if you've watched them lately, but the big 6'6" goalie, One of the reasons he was good is because he was 6 foot six and big, and the puck hit him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now he's trying to make saves, and it's going through him every which way. If he would just play big and block instead of trying to make saves, I think he'd be a lot better off. Because they've got to get him going.
We're talking to Doug McLean, NHL goaltending coach for 25 years.
I'm the Warren Strelo of goaltending coaches.
Listen, if it's Guentzel, we would think that Kyle Dubas is asking for the moon. We hear Hanifin could be three pieces in terms of maybe a couple of first-rounders. Like, are these prices going to drop as we get closer to next Friday?
The other thing is with it, like the Heyman thing, maybe he'll just let him go at the end of the season, Guentzel, for nothing. So that may be a way to get Guentzel too, the same way as they got 40-goal scorer Hyman, you know?
Yeah, oh, Hyman.
You were leaning boy McKee about Hyman, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, like seriously. I mean, Hyman, and what about Trevor Moore? What about the way this kid's playing? If the Leafs just had those two guys right now on their roster, and they added one defenseman, they'd be contending right now.
How about
That's how critical those two guys leaving have affected the league.
How about a line of Trevor Moore on the left side, Kadri in the middle, and Hyman on the right side? Is that where you want to go?
Yeah.
Sammy's leaving now.
I didn't want to nail the coffin shut. I just wanted to tease Sammy, you know? But I didn't want to go after him and devastate him, you know?
So all the guys you named have some scrap to their game. Kip dropped a name in the first hour that would be interesting. Do you think Philly would be open to moving some of bigger names that we've talked about? Like, I like Travis Konechny. Could that be a fit? Not for the Leafs.
I don't see Konechny. I can't believe when they're in the middle of a rebuild, they would move out of Konechny. I think he's too important a guy, but, you know, who knows what's going on there. You know, Lawton, I hear his name out there all the time. Lots of guys are looking, like Edmonton, are looking for a third-line guy. Would it be Lawton? Would it be Henrik, one of those types? But, you know, I can't believe Konechny would be available. But, I mean, he'd be a great addition to most teams, for sure.
So, Mac, let me ask you something, just in terms of...
Just one other name is, you know, our boy in Boston, DeBrusk. I mean...
You hearing his name out there?
I keep hearing his name out there they're not going to pay him next year. They can't pay him next year.
Go look at his playoff numbers. This guy shows up in the playoffs.
Big time.
I'd be all over DeBrusk if he was available.
And I've got to believe that there's how can he not be out there with his contract situation and with how he's played? So I've got to believe he's in play somewhere. And, you know, it'll be real interesting to see if somebody can pick him up, because he's the perfect guy for a playoff team when you for a little bit of grit. I mean, Hanifin, I still say Boston are going to take a run at him, but everybody else is saying Tampa. Geez, I can't believe that'll happen, but we'll see.
So let me ask you, we've had two trades in the last day between Tanev and Lyubushkin, both involved third teams with salary retention. Is this just the way it is now? Like, you can never make a trade ever again without somebody coming in and saving the day. And I think in Lyubushkin's case, they get up a sixth round pick to pick up what? 200, 400 grand. Mac, let me ask you something.
It's unbelievable.
If I owned a team, I'm not paying 300 or 400 grand for a six-round pick. A six-round pick is the same to me as a PTO tryout. You've got as much of a chance as inviting a guy to training camp than you do with a six-round pick.
I think Zetterberg was a seventh-round pick, wasn't he? If you read Draft Day.
You could get Pierre Engvall.
Why, Mac? Like, can you imagine calling a third team all the time now to make a trade?
Easy investment.
I mean, that's the way it is. We know that now. It's you spend half your day chasing teams that'll pick up money for picks, and we've seen it go on for a few years. It's become the way to get around the cap, to circumvent the cap. It's the way to do it. It's just another way to make it happen. And I got a kick out of reading going when the guys Daily Faceoff did the breakdown of that trade with, you know, Jersey. I thought Jersey picking up this little bit. I'm like, this is such a joke. Like, it took me 15 minutes to read who picked up money so that he ends up going for like peanuts. I mean, it's just unbelievable. You know, I don't like it, but that's the name of the game.
Listen, how thrilled would Jack Hughes be right now to hear about picking up a pick for parking money? He's got to be thrilled, eh?
Yeah, especially when Tanev was traded to them first and then moved
on. He should have just kept Tanev.
I would. Yeah. Hey, I think. The other thing is Markstrom. You know what is going on with Markstrom now?
He's
ticked off now about that with management. So what do they do with him over the next number of days here before the deadline? So he's a franchise goaltender. It's Jersey. I mean, they missed probably going to miss the playoffs because of their goaltending. But Sammy, where could he go?
Do you have that sound of Markstrom? Or do you have a quote? Or what do you have?
We had the sound.
Okay, let's play it. Let's play it. Can we play it? How long is it?
I'm not sure, but we'll play it.
Okay, we'll play it until we tell Derek to cut it off.
Jacob, have you parked any talk of a trade? In your mind, is that not going to happen for sure?
I mean, I think there is, everyone in here, every player in here, I really respect them, everything that's been going on and not going on. And how everyone in this room have handled everything, I think it's been really good. And then, the whole situation and everything, I'm happy about that. No, I'm not. And I think it could have been handled a lot different from up top.
Okay, Mac, you were an executive for over 20 years. What is a rookie like Craig Conroy feeling when he hears one of his star players, a leader on his team, says he gives you a shot that it could have been handled better up top?
Yeah, you would hate it. You would hate it because as a management person, if you get into a battle with a player, you have no chance to win with your fan base. Mm-hmm. You have no chance to win that because the fan base will always go with the player over the course of time. They will always side with the player. And that's why you want to keep it out of the media at all costs, because it's a no-win situation for management with your fan base and within the dressing room. So
Is that what he's talking about, though? He's mad that it got out, we think? That's what Markstrom would be frustrated by?
Listen, I remember Pierre Lacroix telling me one time we made a trade. I may have told you this before, but I traded a second-round pick before the draft. Pierre and I made a deal. A second-round pick for Marc Denis, and it was before the draft. And, it was on hold, basically. And Pierre said to me, Doug, you're a first-time GM in the league. I'm going to tell you something. If this gets out in public that we have made this trade, it'll be off and we won't ever do another deal again. Because I can tell you, Doug, it won't come from the Avs organization if it gets out. And it was a great lesson for me as a first-year GM to make sure nothing come out of our organization like that. And it's not easy. It's not easy to keep it in-house.
Just to give people, and we're going into a trade deadline, so this is, just give people an idea of, once you consummate the trade, how many people would have known from your side?
My key people in the office would know, and it would be your assistant GM.
One.
Your director of pro scouting.
Two.
Your director of amateur scouting.
Three. And you.
Those would be the hockey people that would know. The hockey people. Now today it would be also, your cap person would be in the mix as well today. And other than that, I used to say to the guys all the time, I mean, boys, this better not get out, because there are lots of deals you got to sit. We had to sit on that deal for almost 10 days, you know, because it didn't come through till just at the draft.
Do you think all the insiders and, you know, guys calling every day and hounding, I hated that part, by the way. You just call people like 12 times a day till they just break. I'm sick of this
12?
Guy.
12? 12? You called me a ton more than 12. Between you and Bob McKenzie, I could never get off my phone. Between the two of you bugging me about it. I mean, seriously.
You
keep going until one of them talks.
Breaks. Yeah, exactly. Breaks. You keep bugging us. And, you know, and I knew eventually I was going to get fired and I needed you to get me a job. Little did I know you'd keep me around for 20 years.
I got you a job. I got you a book deal. I got you. What else did I get you? You're a professor now. You're a professor now.
By the way, Simon & Schuster are saying it's crazy, the sales with that book.
You think it's the best in history?
It's,
do you think
it's
it beats War and Peace?
It's just behind the Bible, I've heard.
It's the biggest sports book sold in Canada.
We've got to stop showing this cover. We haven't shown the cover of your book this season.
The Bible, War and Peace, and Draft Day.
People are phoning me. Where can I buy it? Where can I buy it?
You're calling
Leave
this
me alone.
Guy, Kurt Vonnegut.
Anyway,
of Canada.
I got a call. Would I do a second book? And you would love to hear the reply, but it couldn't be printed or talked on TV.
Anything to keep you busy. Like, how many times can you go to the beach and look for loose change with your, like, you know,
your metal detector.
Just a guy, one name to keep it. This Laurie kid in Boston, the Mason defenseman in Boston.
Yeah.
Just keep an eye on that name to see there, because if Boston are going to make a big deal, they don't have a first, second, or third round pick. That, and this guy is a good looking prospect.
Yes.
And would Boston ever consider a player like that to make the big deal? Because
the
of not having
deal, right? Okay.
That is hard to do when you've got a big kid like that with the upside he is. Those are tough deals to make. Anyway, again, I'm just trying to throw some tidbits at you guys to try to, you know,
liven
to
the
keep
show
you
up
in
a
the
bit.
Mix. Keep you in the mix. You know?
One more for me, and it's heartbreaking to see a guy like Josh Norris go down again, Mac. The guy's had two shoulder surgeries already, and he's out for quite a period of time. Many believe that it's the shoulder again. Some people suggesting that it may be a situation where you have to go fix something again on it. So, really? I mean, that's it's hard when a guy like that is just still starting his career and you're watching this.
Devastating, and especially when it's $8 million a year times 8 years. That's what's really it's devastating to the kid. I know that's not left on. What is there, 6 years left on this deal?
Yes.
At $8 million
yes.
a year? I mean, that's a tough situation for the kid, and it's tough for the organization, because Ottawa were counting on this guy becoming, I don't know, not a franchise player, but a very, very good player.
Oh, a top centerman, right?
Yeah.
A top centerman. And, you know, so it'll be interesting. But what about Ottawa? Like, Nick, you were going to buy the team.
Well,
like,
not me.
Oh my
not
God.
Me.
Nick was going to buy it.
Not me.
I keep looking at this team and I'm thinking, what is wrong with Stutzel? What is wrong? What's wrong with these guys? Like, come on. 19-0 were the shots the other night. Like, if you're coaching that game in the third period, like, have some pride. Like, what are they going to do to fix this group?
Just get better goaltending next season. And I maybe it's Korpisalo comes back and finds his touch, but
I agree. 100%.
They need better goaltending. It solves a lot.
Also, it's gone on all year long. Can we call the guy Stutzla yet? Stutzla?
Sure.
Yeah. That's what I said. What's wrong with them?
I don't know.
But well, anyway, they gotta fix it. And goaltending has nothing to do with being outshot 19-0. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
19-0.
You got me there. Okay. So
yeah.
What's up for the weekend? What do you got? Porsche
I had a,
change
no,
the tires.
Look, I had a great swim. I had a great walk on the beach this morning for an hour. I burned a lot of calories because I was in the sand going. And then I had a great swim this afternoon.
Do you wear a shower cap?
Exercise swim. Yeah, I should have, by the look of my hair.
You and your new buddy. Don't you have a beach buddy, Mike Milbury, now?
Oh, I met Mike Milbury in the beach yesterday. That's where I got the, you know, the best left winger in Bruin history. Brad Marchand, the best left winger in Boston Bruin history, and will be a first Hall of Famer, first voting.
Wow.
Brad Marchand.
That's according to Milbury?
In Boston Bruin history.
That's according to Milbury.
I was talking to Milbury, and Harry Sinden's name came up because, as you know, Harry's the guy I replaced at Sportsnet Worldwide when Harry retired at 91. So
you're like a baby.
But Harry, it was Harry saying, like, Brad Marchand's the best Bruin. And if people say, what about Johnny Busick? What about Wayne Cashman? And I'm saying, what about Brad Marchand, the career this guy has had? Yeah. Seriously.
Good player.
I mean, do you agree with me?
Yeah, he's a good player.
And the best left winger in Boston. That's saying something, Boston Bruin history.
Seriously, I don't know. Dave Reed.
I know you have Mitch Marner as the best winger in Leafs history. And, you know, geez.
Did you not see that behind the pass to Matthew Knives last night? Come on, Mac.
Oh yeah. And I, every time I to say goodnight to Jill, I said, oh, my God, Kip, you'd be so excited. Marner made three passes tonight. He'd be so excited.
I'm glad I'm one of your last thoughts before you fall asleep. It warms my heart.
You're my last thought before I take my melatonin.
You're brutal. Way to throw it right into the ditch, Mac. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks,
okay,
Mac.
Boys, take care.
That is boys. Doug McLean, former NHL president.
Check on the Butch scoring for me. Check on Butch scoring for me.
Okay. We got to go to commercial.
I don't know. I get exhausted after his segment.
All right, we'll go to break, and then we'll come back and do game time. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
Throw it to break, Sammy.
You're listening to Real Kipper and Bourne. Now it's the break.
Breaking down the top stories in hockey and Elliot Friedman every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in studio, national edition of Real Kipper and Bourne. Sammy, what do you got for us? Game time?
It is. Turn your mic on. It is game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary. Bet365 must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So just checking in on some futures, because I'm going to be honest with you, fellas. Love hockey. Tonight might be a nice night to take your significant other out for a nice dinner, or, you know, watch a movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to say tonight's NHL slate isn't great, but the Calder Memorial Trophy, Connor Bedard is up to a minus 550 favorite. Has he scored since he's come back?
I don't know what his numbers are. I haven't seen him on the highlights much other than who slashed him?
Oh,
Manson?
Manson got him pretty good in the hand yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah.
He has not scored since February 19th. So, he scored since he's been back.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But not in it.
No, straight games, he's got no goals, one assist over the last four games.
To me, this is just like they've made it up. So, he came back and he scored against Ottawa. So, he's got two since he came back. It just feels like this is already made up, that they're just going to give it to him. So, maybe you avoid that one. But you can get the field, which I guess is just Brock Faber, if you want to bet against that. It's, you know, plus 375.
What's field and what's Faber?
The field is plus 375 and Faber is plus 400. And the next closest is Luke Hughes at plus 1900. So if you think it's going to be anyone other, it's going to be Faber and you can bet on him. Yeah. The Hart Memorial Trophy. Who would you think is the favorite for this trophy at the moment?
Was it McDavid?
Mm-mm.
Is it Matthew?
Austin jump up?
Yeah, Austin's the favorite at plus 180. Nathan MacKinnon second at plus 210. Kucherov 270. McDavid plus 360. Adds one last night. 74 goal pace.
74.
Yeah.
It's really hard to argue 74. Mm-hmm. And still very much into that 25% range of scoring all Leaf goals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. That alone wins you the heart.
Numbers are pretty wild.
It's crazy that he's going to score that many. And the last one I have is the Stanley Cup favorite. And who, I think Borny maybe brought this up to me today, but who do you think the favorite is to a question you already know the answer to?
Yeah. I don't know. I think Florida.
No.
They're second.
It's the Oilers.
Oilers.
Plus 700. To me, that's wrong.
Yeah.
I don't mean to call it our wonderful sponsor, Bet365, who I love very much. But
they really should talk to us.
Florida is,
don't you think?
This is based on where people are going to put their money.
They're trying to get a bit more Oiler fan money
action
on this. But
or
I'm just surprised.
Themselves from it, yeah.
Like, they're just not the best team in the league.
Listen, just call us. We'll help you out.
I'm sure you'll do that for free too, right, Kiffer?
No, that'll be a small charge.
And if you want the other Canadian teams, the Vancouver Canucks are 10-1. The Jets are 12-1. The Toronto Maple Leafs are 13-1. And it goes down from there. So there you go.
The old Leafies are sneaking up in terms of like points percentage.
Yeah.
They're ahead of the Oilers now. And sneaking up on our other Canadian friends.
So there you go. That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. You guys want some text?
Text time. All right. Text
just one note on the three games tonight.
Oh, okay.
New Jersey.
And
so
Anaheim.
Lots of talk, as we mentioned earlier in the show, about a goaltender and, you know, Markstrom, a little ticked off.
Yep.
And we're kind of wondering why.
Yes, I want your thoughts.
Yeah. It's got to be because he wants to go and try to win a Stanley Cup.
So you think he wanted to go to New Jersey?
I think.
And he's upset that it didn't work out?
Yes. I think that he knows he's got a small window here to go try to win. It's not going to happen in Calgary anytime soon. He wants to win.
Interesting, because, you know, he made some comments on basically supporting, you know, the team has been good as they've been trading away good players, but he's been watching good players go out. He knows how old he is. He wants to go somewhere where he thinks he has a chance. I would also imagine he sees Dougie Hamilton coming back to New Jersey next season and knows that they're going to be good for some years here.
Yeah.
So he'll have a shot
there. Where is New Jersey
and
right now?
Frankly, the Metro's not great.
Right? They're on the outside looking in, are they not?
Oh, yeah. Significantly.
Significantly.
Yeah, they're not.
Like, we assume five teams in the East.
The Devils are 5 points behind the Flyers for third in the Metro with a game in hand. So they're not done by any stretch.
But with they added a goalie, that
would go a lot.
You know what may happen
way
before they add a goalie?
No.
They're going to add a tough guy.
What's that going to
be? I'm just telling you, I'm not saying, I'm not putting the level of importance, but it did not sit well when Matt Rempe ran over
Bastion.
Okay. And mark my words, before this trade deadline's over. And when do they meet again? When do the Rangers and the Devils meet again?
I don't know, but you got some retribution planned.
Oh, listen, you cannot go back to that game. Somebody said mid-March.
It is March 11th at Madison Square Garden, fellas.
Yeah. 10 days. You're not going back in there without a new feel.
A new mutant?
I don't know what's out there. I don't know where you go, where you look anymore. There are hardly any out there, but there has to be one around 6'5", 240. I don't know if he's in the American Hockey League. I don't know where he is, but it's weird. It's starting kind of like all it took was just one guy to kind of snowball where the Devils are thinking right now.
Yeah. You look at their fourth line. You remember a year or two ago when it was big Miles Wood, big Michael McLeod and Bastion. They were a good line together. Now they got Alexander Holtz on their fourth line. No big D, really.
Yeah.
I could see them.
Yeah. They're searching anyways. I can tell you that. They're searching.
Text. Missed the first few minutes of the show. Did you guys address the fire alarm last night? Was it Kipper who pulled it? Was there enough snacks? From our texter, SJ in North York.
Yeah, we didn't go to air in the second intermission because of a fire alarm. I mean, I've been in buildings here over my course of 20 plus years, but I've never missed. We've never missed on air.
I don't think it's supposed to go off in the studio. I think like there's like a separate, I don't know, you're just supposed to hang out in there. I don't know. No one ran to the exits, but.
Yeah. So I can confirm.
Probably should have left.
I can confirm.
Well, we're close to the exit there if you need to get outside.
Yeah, I can confirm it did not have to do with the snacks.
I was going to show Mitch Marner playing defense, which I ended up doing post-game. Like we got to our points.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
With Stone's history, Vegas should just LTIR him every year before the trade deadline, and their dynasty is formed. LTR is becoming a total joke, John and Hamilton.
Yeah, I can't.
They are doing that, and I agree.
I can't disagree. That it's a bit of a joke. It just needs to get cleaned up.
It's, it is embarrassing because it's not, it probably doesn't feel great or look great for a guy like Stone either. I bet he doesn't, like, I understand that he'll do the right thing for the team, but I'm sure he'd prefer to come back when he's ready.
I don't doubt that for one second that it's not legit.
Well, I'm sure he's hurt.
Yeah, but I think he's a lacerated spleen.
But maybe he'd be ready
but it allows,
April 2nd.
It allows this gray area for you to go, okay, if we're this far, then why not just do this or why not do that, sit out an extra week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
And he's an older guy, could use the rest anyway, worked out for him last year. Easy sell to a guy like Stone, who I'm sure is genuinely hurt, but just gives
And there's a lot of teams that would like that luxury of a big ticket item going down.
The craziest thing with a Vegas one here is not one person that I've talked to has been like, yeah, they're not sure if he's going to come back or not, or you know what they can do. Everyone is like,
hold on. Did you see this before you mentioned this?
What's that?
Trade alert from the New Jersey Devils verified account. We have acquired forward Curtis McDermott via trade with Colorado
in
exchange for a seventh round pick in the 2024 NHL draft.
No, I did not see it.
You're lying.
No, I did not see it.
He definitely didn't.
I didn't see it.
But I am sure.
I just saw New Jersey.
You knew.
No, I did not know.
Nowhere.
I did not know.
Somewhere there.
I swear I did not know.
Well, good luck, Kermis McDermott. You're fighting Matt Rempe in 10 days.
March 11th.
Yep.
At MSG.
You might as well train like it's a fight. There should be a weigh-in. They're definitely going to fight.
So who's reporting that?
The New Jersey Devils.
What time did the release come out?
Right this second.
So when did I say it? Two minutes ago?
I don't know.
Curtis McDermott. Here's the thing that's a little strange.
540.
Here's the really strange
part. 540?
Kip said, surely there's someone that's out there that's 6'5",
okay.
240.
What's going on?
This guy is 6'5".
Well, you're not getting 5'11 to fight a guy 6'8".
I don't know. They're going to get someone who's a Gemini.
I got to say, Curtis McDermott from my neck of the woods, Sauble Beach, Ontario, tough.
He's tough.
Played for, played for my hometown, Own Sound Attack, played for the Own Sound Grays.
Oh, my gosh. We're going old school again, guys.
This guy can chuck him.
We're going
with the best of them, so.
Old school.
I'm wearing my Own Sound hat today. Curtis McDermott's going to beat the brakes off Rempe, Own Sound style. Let's go.
I hope Rempe can fight. You know? Like, he didn't get beat up by Matt Martin, but he certainly.
But he throws them.
I know he does, but he took a lot of punches to the head region.
He's just.
And if he's going to go fight Ryan Reeves and Curtis McDermott now, those are the two toughest guys.
He hasn't even finished growing. He's 21.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's not going to be the toughest guy in the league.
His eyes are growing out.
Yeah, is there some sort of, intermediate training plan before you just fight all the league's toughest guys?
I just lost my train of thought there, boys.
Ken Reed's going to have a Rempe jersey before midnight.
We've had a million sort of texts alluding to the same thing. Ton of people really want to know what the Oilers are going to do at the deadline. Common theme amongst their texts.
They're doing something. They will. They'll sell their first rounder all day long.
Oh yeah.
So it's a foregone conclusion. They're just waiting to pick the guy that they think. I think they've got the assets, and they'll figure out a cap scenario. But they're looking for
both the and a forward, right? So
maybe a third line type of guy.
Yeah,
a centerman, maybe.
How tall and heavy would he be?
This one would be 6'2".
Okay.
And about 205.
Okay. All right. We'll keep that in
mind. All right. What do you got for me here?
I'm just trying to figure out how much you lied there. Ned in Lethbridge says,
you can't give away all your secrets, Sammy.
The last guy to leave a team and then come back and have it work out is Craig Conroy in Calgary, says Ned in Lethbridge.
All right.
Good pickup.
There you go. Random question here. How many hours of hockey a week do you guys watch from Andrew in Woodstock?
You don't want that number.
Yeah.
I mean, you start with a minimum of a game a night. So there's you're in for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
I mean,
the key to my longevity over the course of 20 plus years is not much at all.
25 to 30 hours.
Yeah, it's crazy how much hockey.
I mean, because I often watch into a second game the next day. Yeah. I'll watch, you know, video and replay and highlights.
Oh, that phone. Like, you end up watching more games on your phone, I think, than anything.
You're getting pieces of games.
Here's a crazy Friday question. Would you take a chance and trade Samsonov? He won't be back next year. He could help fetch a decent defender. We have Jones and Hill. Okay, I'll stop right there.
Yeah. I'm not
in
sold
theory,
on
if he could fetch me. I a know decent it's crazy, defender.
But ... was the way he ended.
We didn't even do the Joe Wool thing.
So
you starting him in game one playoffs now? You're sold?
Oh, he's way better.
Way better. Way better. Calmer. Just he needs reps and he needs to stay healthy. That's it.
I'm no Doug McClain goaltending coach here, but I'm watching the two guys play. There's no comparison.
First of all, give me one team that would take their chance on Samsonov. If you're LA and you've come this far and you've watched his season,
you go, ooh, he's an 888.
You're going to look like an idiot if he does not come through for you. That's all. Right? Based on the toilet seat season that he's had up and down.
Yeah. Nope. That's fair. That's a tough sell. Got one more for us?
No, we're good.
All right. Isles get a big win over the Detroit Red Wings last night.
Where are you on them?
Which one? When Detroit or New York?
Isles.
The Isles. They're going to try to win. Like, this is just not a team that, you know, Lou's going to give up on. They're the oldest team behind maybe Pittsburgh. They're an old team. So they're going to try to keep winning. And, yeah, I'm not 100% sold. But they do have the right mix of things that could be annoying in playoffs. They have a goalie who can get red hot. You know, Barzal can make some plays. They got a couple of D who've underachieved this year in Pulak and Pelech. They're okay.
They have 14 loser points this year.
It's a lot. You know why? They blow leads constantly, but they do get leads too. So, you know, clean that up. Their D plays a little better. Maybe they could hang on to a few more, but
the fight for that last wild card spot. I mean, so the last spot in the Metro is going to be fascinating. Like, you have how many teams within 7 points of that? Pittsburgh, Washington, New York, New Jersey. Everybody is right there for it. So,
and not to mention, Tampa Bay is tripping on their own shoes a little bit, and that second wild card spot could also open up.
Yeah, they're not. They lost to Buffalo last night. That's never good.
Nope. So, did you guys see this story on NHLPA Executive Director Marty Walsh? Biden nominates him for the Postal Service Board seat?
No.
What?
Can someone tell the President of the United States that
we're doing stuff here?
Marty's got a job already.
Well, he was in someone's administration before. Was it the Obama Biden era?
So there's a line in this story that's out. I don't know where it's from. W. Burr or something. I don't know. and it says, It was not immediately known, it was not immediately clear Thursday if Walsh would need to depart his job leading the NHL Players Union to take the USPS board position.
NHLPA leader knew it's a part-time job now. Just do this in your spare time.
It's a $3 million a year job.
I like Marty. I want Marty to leave.
Marty's been great.
And
for
they're under the impression that he's like doing this on weekends.
Listen, I still get people who ask me, like, is that your full time job?
Honestly, sometimes I'm like, it's bad.
Oh my goodness, that is hilarious.
All right, we're sailing off to the weekend. 30 seconds.
Our thanks to Doug McClain.
Busy week next week, boys.
Fox.
Rest up.
Three Leafs games.
Four Leafs
Sammy,
games.
Sammy, bring deadline. It next week, man. Yeah, I want
rest
scoops.
Up. Rest
scoops.
Up.
Go deep into your sources.
Okay, yeah,
Curtis
for sure.
McDermott to the Devils. You heard it here first.
Our thanks, as always, for you joining us on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. And if you get a chance, give us a rating and review. We'd love to hear from you. Have a safe weekend, everybody. We're back on Monday.